This is Vermont Edition. I'm Bob Kinzel. Vermont is experiencing a second major wave of coronavirus cases. State officials believe this is happening because a number of Vermonters are suffering from COVID-19 fatigue and have not been following recommendations from the health department as closely as they did last spring. Governor Phil Scott told reporters this week that he thinks the state can significantly reduce the number of coronavirus cases, but only if all Vermonters strictly adhere to the new restrictions.
Look, I understand getting together with family, especially during the holidays, is important. And I understand how hard it is to be asked to keep making sacrifices. I haven't seen my mom or my daughter in nearly a year. But right now, we're in the middle of a pandemic and we're seeing record growth. And this growth is not because of tourists, it's not because of restaurants, it's not because of gyms, it's not because of schools, it's because adults continue to get together with other adults, multiple households, inside and outside, in situations usually involving alcohol, where they stop taking precautions.
Today I'm joined by VPR's Mitch Wortlieb, and we're hoping you'll share with us some of the steps you might be taking, some of the strategies you might be developing to help you through this second phase of the crisis, a crisis that's likely to affect the Thanksgiving plans of almost every Vermonters. Mitch, great to have you on the program today.
Bob, thank you. It's great to be with you even under these difficult circumstances.
Mitch, the Governor Scott imposed some tough new restrictions on family and personal gatherings for at least the next month. These are in place until December 15th. No social interactions between families or multi-household gatherings. All bars are closed down. Curbside services are still available. All restaurants must close at 10 o'clock. Youth and adult recreational sports are on hold. Teleworking will be encouraged as much as possible, and new testing and contact tracing procedures will be put into place. A whole bunch of tough restrictions. You know, Mitch, last spring and early summer, you and I talked on the air about the virus a number of times. I'm wondering, just from your point of view, does it feel different now than it did last April?
Well, to me, Bob, the biggest difference about now and last April is it's kind of a sense of disappointment, because I think Vermonters responded so well at the beginning. This was a scary, very unknown thing, and look, it still is. But, you know, we saw these really terrific numbers in Vermont compared to the rest of the country. You know, while other places were seeing surges that started in the Northeast and then it was more in the Midwest, et cetera, Vermont held steady, and Vermonters were doing really well. And I guess it's this sense now of, oh, this is so sad to see the numbers start to shoot up here, to spike back up. However, what does bring me some sense of hope is in hearing when I talked to our health commissioner, Dr. Mark Levine, and we had that interview on the air this morning. He was saying, you know what, I know that I'm optimistic, he said, because we've done this before. Vermonters have proved they can do it. It's a matter of, can we do it again? I think the message is going to get through, and I'm going to just remain hopeful that people will take it seriously.
And do you find that there's some things, some strategies that are helping you during this resurgence of the virus?
It's a lot of the same ones we've talked about before, and I know it's going to sound simple and maybe too simplistic, but honestly, just having that 1 hour or so when I can get outside with my dog and walk through the woods and you know, I'll bring my mask with me because there are lots of people on the trails now, and I have that, and I bring that mask up. And by the way, most people I see on the trails, like 90%, I would say, Bob, are wearing a mask too. People are taking this seriously from what I can see. Those walks are invaluable to me. And sometimes I go with my daughter. And I will just say this about her. I'm drawing inspiration from my daughter these days. She's 12 years old, and she's going through this. And this is the kind of thing that, you know, I hope many, many years from now, she maybe will be telling her kids or her grandkids about if she goes down that road, you know. And she's dealing with this so well as a 12-year-old whose life has really been upended, like kids all around the state. but she's dealing with this as best she can. She's keeping her sense of humor. She hates Zoom calls. She hates doing the remote part of learning, but she's adapting. And it's remarkable to me to see somebody that young adapting to such a really dire circumstance. You know, we hit this milestone today. You heard it, Bob, mentioned on NPR today. 250,000 people have died from this disease. That is astonishing and so sad to hear. But, you know, when I see her, you know, come bounding home from school when she's in a couple of days a week and she's feeling good about things and she's telling a joke or whatever, I breathe a little bit easier and I feel like, all right, you know what? She's going to get through this. I'm going to get through this, too, and we all are.
Mitch, I'm wondering, how do you explain this pandemic to her?
In a lot of ways, she's explaining it to me. I think I basically say, look, you know, this is science. We have to wear masks because you can have this disease and not even know it. You can be asymptomatic, which means that you're not showing symptoms. You don't feel sick. You don't look sick. But you could be transmitting this to someone else. So we need to protect each other. We need to protect other people. I tell her there will be a vaccine coming. We've heard a lot of news about that. This is not going to be forever. But I tell her, look, you know, for the foreseeable future, and it may be months, it may be weeks and months, we are going to have to change our lives. We are going to have to stay at home much more often. We're going to get bored sometimes, but we're going to make it through this. And that's pretty much what I do.
Mitch, I'm wondering, do you get a sense that the governor's underlying message right now is basically, hey, folks, if we don't start to bend the curve on a number of new cases, then we're headed back to the restrictions that we had last spring. And that's when we had most non-essential businesses closed, schools were closed, people were told to stay home. Do you get a sense from the governor he's saying, we got to really get this under control right now, otherwise we're going to deal with a lot more restrictive society?
He sounds pretty serious to me. I think the governor has gotten a lot of kudos since this began, and we've seen this from VPR, Vermont PBS polling that we've done, that Vermonters have really appreciated his straightforward approach to this. I think that he is as disappointed with these recent spikes as any of us are, and I think that he's basically saying, look, I don't want to go back to a almost complete shutdown of the Vermont economy, but if that's what's going to happen to keep people safe, that's what we're going to have to do. That message seems to be getting clear right now. And the governor's in a tough position. He doesn't want to tell restaurants they can't be open at all. He doesn't want to completely shut down the economy. We understand that there are so many complications with that. Money from the federal government, there is no stimulus package right now coming out of Washington. We are in a vulnerable position like every state is. So I think that his message now is pretty stark, pretty serious. And, I just hope that Vermonters get it. And I'm sure that he does, too.
Let's go to our callers. We got a lot of folks who'd like to share their experiences with us. So let's start off with Charlene, who's calling from Jericho. Hi, Charlene. Welcome to the program.
Thank you very much. I'm calling as a concerned grandmother. Wondering what is the best way to reach out to some of our middle school and high school students that are showing signs of being depressed due to the restrictions of the pandemic. They're concerning of being tired, fatigued, losing interest, maybe not eating as well or overeating. They're reluctant as a group to reach out to us. How do we reach out to them?
Wow, Charlene, that's a great question. I think it comes down to being as honest and as forthright as we can and acknowledging first that those feelings they may be having of being depressed, of losing interest in things, are completely understandable given the circumstances that we're in. And I would reach out to those people, those kids, and say, look, if you don't want to talk right this second, maybe I'm bothering you. You know how teenagers can be. They don't necessarily automatically take you in. Say, look, we can come back and talk about this later, but I want you to know you're living through a moment in history here that people haven't dealt with in about 100 years. And your fortitude now, is something that's going to be remarkable, but it's going to hurt for a while. And the feelings that you're feeling, acknowledge those feelings that they have and say you are completely, those are completely legitimate feelings. You should be having them if you want to express them in ways that maybe you need to shout, you know, or go out in the backyard and, you know, jump up and down or run around or do something. Whatever it is, we understand we are there for you. And most importantly, just listen. That, to me, always seems to be the best thing to do.
Mitch, I think that is great advice, just to acknowledge that those feelings exist and not to be in denial and try to put them under the rug and say, well, come on now, you can do better. That acknowledging those feelings are very, very important. And when you were talking about, you know, maybe going outside and yelling or whatever it was,
right.
I had an experience on Saturday, Mitch. There's a new Bruce Springsteen album that came out. I'm a big fan of The Boss. And I was listening to it at home. Now, I was all by myself, so I could do this. But one song came on in particular that I really liked. So I went back to the beginning of the song, and I cranked that volume as loud as it could possibly go, probably up to 11 on the scale. And I just stood in the living room, just totally involved in the music. And for 3.5 or 4 minutes, I was transported to some other place. And for me, that was kind of my moment of joy for the day, you know? And
yeah.
I found that just, that took a lot of clouds away.
Bob, I love, first of all, the image of you just cranking Bruce Springsteen and singing along. I'm going to carry that with me throughout the day. And I'd like to just add this email that we got, and I think this answers a little bit, in some ways, what Charlene was asking about. How do we reach out to kids, high schoolers, or even younger? Susan wrote us and said, I created my own COVID coping plan. Every day, I contact someone, either by phone or by a handwritten card or email. I pick someone who I know who is alone or elderly or not thriving. And I think in this, Susan didn't write this, but I think we can add teenagers into this, kids who are not feeling great. Just one phone call, she says, clearly makes a difference. I've had some great conversations. And while I've never loved the phone, I find myself really energized and happier. So that's what we got from Susan. And I would encourage people to do that as well. Reaching out to folks maybe you haven't talked with in a while is a really good strategy.
That's a great idea. Let's turn to Zach in Burlington. Hey, Zach, welcome to the program.
Hi. So I'm calling to say, you know, with people being healthy and all that, I've really gotten back into, like, trying to bring, you know, gardening and organics back inside. You know, people aren't eating healthy to begin with all the time anyways now. And with trying to, like, prevent people from going to the store and buying their produce and trying to get people to eat healthier, you know, I'm trying to at least do something better for myself and kind of bring that kind of lost art back, I guess.
Yeah. How does it make you feel, Zach, when you as you say, bring the gardening inside, so to speak? In other words,
well, it's nice. You know, it's actually fairly therapeutic for me. I have a lot of, like, ADD disorders, blah blah blah, and just handling dirt.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Handling dirt with microbes in it is actually fairly beneficial for your body. My daughter is going to be 3 in February, and she absolutely loves mixing dirt with her hands.
Oh, that sounds great. And that's something you can do with a young kid like that, too. And the appreciation of nature. Again, you know, one of the things, Bob, that's been so helpful to me is to get outside. And I know that the weather is going to get super cold soon. You know, if you do have the means to wear warm clothing, because they say in Vermont, you know, there's no such thing as bad weather, only inadequate clothing. But if you can get outside in some capacity, each day, if you can, even if it's just for a little bit of time, I think it makes a huge difference. And as Zach was saying, if you can bring some of that plant life inside to your house and play around with their hands in the dirt, that's going to make you feel good too.
Mitch, you know, we asked some people if they had some coping strategies to record a little voicemail for us. And Sandra in Colchester has one I think is right up your alley, Mitch. She shared a small but persistent source of joy for her family, new pets.
I just wanted to talk about my sister-in-law who has just adopted two little cats. The funny thing is she hasn't named either of them. She just refers to them as my boys, or boy one and boy two. And then she says, come here, boys. They both come. And they adore her, and they adore each other. They spend all their time playing together, sleeping together, doing bad mischief together, and, you know, just getting into the best kinds of situations that kittens do together. So I know she is over the moon with happiness, and when she talks about them, I am over the moon with happiness for her happiness and for the arrival of boys one and boys two. So that's my message. Bye-bye.
Well, that's just perfect. I was going to try to come up with some clever names for boys one and boy one and boy two, but no, do not change the names. They're perfect. They remind me very much of a couple of classic characters known as Thing One and Thing Two, which fans of Cat in the Hat will know are some of the greatest characters in literature. So that is wonderful. Sandra from Colchester, thank you for sharing that.
This is Vermont Edition. I'm Bob Kinzel. With me today, VPR's Mitch Wortlieb, and we're asking you to share with us some of the strategies that you have, maybe very small, a moment of joy that you have every day, maybe a larger strategy that's helping you through the resurgence of this coronavirus. Chelsea is a teacher who says her coworkers, and knowing her limits, have been crucial to making it through a difficult semester.
This has been a hard week, but it's been a hard fall for many teachers out there. And as a fourth grade teacher myself, I think one of the ways I'm getting by is by leaning on those teammates and those people that I work with to find community and connect with each other, to find ways to laugh each day, and to also find ways to say no when stuff is too much. I think sometimes the reality of what's happening in the classroom is not perceived well by the community and by those putting the mandates on us. So I think to all the teachers out there, I hope you're finding some time to connect and laugh with those around you and to set boundaries for yourself when you need to. Thanks for doing the show. Bye.
Wow, Chelsea, thank you for that. Bob, I think that's really an important point that Chelsea makes, because it's not just students, who are, you know, dealing with things like remote working from home, folks that don't have access to good high-speed internet that can be very frustrating, but teachers as well. I think there, among the so many people we need to thank for doing their jobs day in and day out, but especially during this pandemic, teachers are absolutely at the top of that list. Nurses, doctors, of course, all the folks who are working in convenience stores and gas stations and still going to work, all of them, everyone is doing their part. But I know this is hard for teachers. I know they would rather just be doing their job as they normally do it. And if you can thank a teacher, if you know one, please take the time out to do so. It's a strain on everybody. It really is.
And, you know, I'd give a shout out as well, Mitch, to all the families who have young children and are coping with remote learning, or sometimes remote learning and not, whether or not they're able to go to work or if they're working from home. I have a bunch of kids, but they're all older now, so it's not something that I'm dealing with on a daily basis in the way that you are. And for families that have young children and trying to balance the responsibilities of work, I can't imagine what they're going through. It's just remarkable to me that so many people are doing as well as they are. Let's talk to Anita in South Burlington. Hi, Anita. Welcome to the program.
Hi, Anita. Hi.
I'm sorry, it's hard because I was listening to the radio at the same time. So I do a morning show on Vermont PBS, which is Classical Stretch. It's a 22-minute exercise program. And I set the goal November 1st to do it every single day through February 28th, because I figured that was the real hunker down period. And I got a calendar, and I mark it off every day so that the dates connect like a chain, and so there's no break in the chain.
Anita, when you say you do classical stretch, I'm sort of guessing that means like it's classical music and you're doing like a stretching program, a kind of yoga thing? Is it like that?
It's a stretch program in the morning that's 22 minutes with Miranda Esmond White. So you can see it on Vermont PBS, which is Channel 6 if you're in Chittenden County. And it includes stretching and some Tai Chi, a little bit of yoga. She was a former ballerina,
oh, wow,
and she injured herself. And so then she formed this fitness program that exercises all your muscles.
That sounds fantastic. How do you feel when you come out of that doing just one 22-minute
program? Oh, I feel great. It's just such a great way to start the day.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, that sounds like a wonderful idea, and that's on PBS. Thank you very much for sharing that, Anita. I appreciate that.
You know, Mitch, one thing that has helped me during this pandemic, and I haven't always been good about it, but I try hard, is to work out. It's sort of the equivalent of you're going for a walk with your dog.
Mm-hmm.
I have a Stairmaster at home. I do a lot of reading. I've been actually doing a lot of reading during the pandemic. I've read more in the last 7 months than I have in the previous 7 years. But I also found that stretching afterwards, I used to think stretching was just a huge waste of time. And why do I have to do this? And now it's my favorite part of the workout to just feel my muscles stretch, just put my brain in a more meditative state. So I can understand that folks would really enjoy classical stretching or any other type of stretching and activity that gets their body moving, which is so important for their brain.
It is, absolutely. And I think that you and Anita are both sort of prompting me to start stretching more, because that's always been the least favorite thing for me to do. I'm very inflexible. I have tight joints, all that stuff. But it's so good for you. And it does feel good once you do it. I've also been trying to up my game with working out too, Bob, because I heard that doing push-ups every day is really good for you. So I'm trying to do a whole bunch of push-ups each day, and as many as my aging body can handle. But whatever it is, to get the blood flowing. I know it's easy to get into in winter, you get into that mode where you just kind of sit, you know, and you don't move. But if you can move in any way, it's really important.
You know, I got a great piece of advice from one of my daughters. Sometimes I'll be lying in bed in the morning and it's cold and I'm thinking, do I really want to get up and get on the Stairmaster? You know, I don't think so. I think I'd just rather go into work a little early. And her advice, her phrase is, be stronger than your biggest excuse.
Oh, that's a good one.
I love that
that's
one.
Good.
I mean, I think it applies in a lot of different situations. So you're sitting there thinking, oh, it's cold. I don't want to get up. I don't want to do this. Well, what's the biggest excuse that I have? And I got to be a little stronger.
Be
than
stronger
that.
Than so that. Love it.
That's been very helpful. Let's turn to Bill in Burlington. Hey, Bill, welcome to the program.
Thank you. Bizarre though this is, absent FaceTime, if you have a friend, you drive your car to a parking lot and have your friend go to the same parking lot, park your cars together, and go face-to-face and talk to each other on your cell phone. exchange ideas. And at least it's as personal as you're going to get under these circumstances, bizarre though it is.
It's also kind of funny. I'm just the visual of that, of having the two parked cars, you're talking to each other, but on a cell phone. And Bill, also masks, right?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Okay. Just wanted to make absolutely sure about that. But I love that visual. It's great. You can pretend, maybe, to take this a little further, pretend like you're in one of those detective shows, you know, where maybe you're the detective that's meeting with a source and, you know, you're getting some juicy piece of information. I don't know. I'm just trying to spice things up here a little bit.
Yeah. Well, and the other thing, too, both Bill and Mitch, is, you know, we've seen musicians now holding concerts basically in the at a drive-in movie theater,
yeah,
or in a big parking lot where people just come in their cars and then have access to the audio. And some people really enjoy that.
I mean, anything that you can do to get some arts and some music into your life, the way you were talking about, Bob, before, about, you know, maybe just cranking something up, Bruce Springsteen, a little band I like to call the Grateful Dead, you know, anything that makes you happy, do it. Because the arts right now, I think people are going to rediscover just how important they are when you have more time to read, when you have more time to listen to music, to write, to create your own art, to do things that make you happy, or to give you an outlet for any frustration or rage or anything else that you may have that can be channeled into a positive medium like art. I absolutely encourage everybody to do that.
Mitch, let's go back to one of our voicemails. This is from Larry, who says he and his wife are elderly, not in good health. He says their outings continue to be limited.
We go to grocery stores and to medical appointments and to our drugstore, and that's about all. We're both pretty good cooks. We don't do takeout, so we're not doing that. We try to avoid any closed places or stop getting haircuts. And most items that we need, which aren't groceries or medical supplies, we're buying from online from L.L. Bean or Amazon or other vendors. Thank you. Bye now.
So, you know, again, I think that it's the different end of the spectrum there, Bob. We've talked about younger kids, teenagers, and then, of course, there are the elderly who, you know, have their own challenges. It sounds like Larry is coping as best as he can with that with his wife.
You know, Mitch, I was very pleased that during the spring pandemic, there were a number. I live in a neighborhood in Montpelier, and there were a number of people in the neighborhood who took the initiative to put together an email list of just about everybody who lives on the street, either owning a home or renting an apartment, whatever the circumstance might be. And to start a kind of an email chain to say, hey, if there's anything that you need, because there are some elderly people on the street living alone, if there's anything you need, we're making a trip to the grocery store, whatever it happens to be, let's all be in touch. And I thought it was absolutely fantastic that these folks took the initiative to do that and to try to make everybody feel like, you know, we're a big community here on this street. There are 50 or 60 of us. And if anybody needs some help, just reach out. There are lots of people here who are ready to help.
And it sounds simplistic, but once you do that, that feeling of helping someone else, and volunteers will tell you this is absolutely true, even in non-COVID times, when you help somebody else out, you feel incredible. It feels good. It'll lighten your mood. It'll make you feel better about yourself, and it will continue. It's a momentum thing. I think that's a great idea, actually, if you can reach out to anyone.
Let's go back to our callers and talk to David in East Montpelier. Hey, David, welcome to the program.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
Good. Well, anyway, two points. I had one, but now I got a second one. The first point is, you know, when you spend so much time and it's just you and your spouse, significant other or whatever, most important thing that you can do is take the time to appreciate the fact that the two of you are together and that no matter what, that stays the same.
Oh, yeah.
So that's very important. The other point I was going to make is when I get down, I'm by myself, I put that new Bruce Springsteen album on and I crank it up. So I agree with Bob.
Oh, David, that is wonderful. And I really appreciate what you're saying there about appreciating your partner, whoever you are, whatever circumstances you're in. These are tough times. We're in close quarters. You're going to be seeing a whole lot of more of your significant other. And I know that there are circumstances that are much more difficult than perhaps David's is, but appreciate the person you're with. Talk to them, ask them how they're feeling. Give them a hug when you know, because you can hug that person. If you're in that house with them, you can do that. The appreciation that one person will have for another and recognizing that appreciation goes so much further than any of us can imagine. I know it seems simplistic. I don't want this to seem trite, but honestly, it is absolutely true, especially in circumstances where you have to be, out of necessity, hold up with somebody for a long time, and you're going to be seeing a lot more of that person. Appreciate the things that you love about them.
And Mitch, this really is a situation. Sometimes some very simple things are very, very powerful.
Some simple things, just a nod, a touch along, a smile. I mean, just the littlest things can go so very far. I did want to share this too, Bob, because I got this email today from somebody who contacted us a while back when we were doing these shows, and back in the spring. And her name is Barbara, and she wrote and said, I wrote to you in March about my concern that I would not see my 98-year-old mother in England again. Well, she says, in October, I did make the trip. I spent a month there, half of it in quarantine, managed to spend a couple of weeks visiting her. It was a strange trip, she says. She stayed in an Airbnb, didn't travel more than a 2-mile radius from there. And she did the quarantining. She got quarantined when she got back to Vermont, got a negative test result for COVID, all of that, and did everything right. And she was able to see her mother, who is almost 99 years old. And she says, Barbara says that she is still plodding along. So, Barbara, if you're listening, I'm so glad you were able to see your mom. You know, it didn't sound like you were going to be able to back in March, but you were able to. You quarantined. You did everything right. Stay safe. Be well. And I'm so glad you got to see your mom.
Oh, that's a great, great story. We were talking, Mitch, about simple things earlier. I got a video text yesterday of my granddaughter, and she was learning how to play the maracas. And it just was wonderful. It was for 15 seconds, you know, to watch a 2.5-year-old dancing around her living room, learning to do rhythm. It just made my day.
That is so cool. You know, and that's another thing it reminds me of. And this is, I don't want people to be like staring into their phones or spending too much time on screens, but people are very creative. And sometimes you'll see these things, you know, on Twitter or on social media, just little TikTok videos of people doing kind of goofy, crazy things, but that will make you laugh out loud. Don't spend hours looking at that, but a couple of those things could be so funny. If you see one that you know is going to delight a friend of yours, send it on to them. Any little bit of a laugh, a chuckle, anything that you can get to break out of the gloom a little bit is going to go really far.
Mitch, we got this voicemail from Nate in South Burlington, who says he feels a combination of admiration for Vermont's response to the virus and frustration towards the national crisis.
From a personal perspective, I think everything the governor says and everything that Mark Levine and everyone at the health department are doing is fantastic and heartening to see a commitment to what is going to keep Vermonters safe. But at the same time, from a national perspective, seeing such a vacuum of any sort of responsibility and also just seeing from across the country and even, you know, in our own state, people just neglecting to take this seriously. It comes as a real slap to the face for those of us who know how serious this is and who are trying their best to follow the protocols. And I can say personally that I've been feeling in this just a state of sadness, and it's, you know, it's really hard. And so just anything motivating at this point is going to do the best things. I respect and love the fact that BPR is always checking in. Thanks again. Bye.
Well, Nate, Bob, if I could just jump in here, I want to thank Nate because I think he expressed better than I did at the top of the show just now that sense of frustration. He really expressed what I was trying to get at, because to me, what is different now is this feeling of disappointment of why, you know, I was so proud of the fact that, you know, I live in Vermont now. I wasn't born here, so I'll never be a Vermonter. But this is my state. This is my home. And I love Vermont, and I love its people. And I was so proud of what we were doing here. To see these numbers go up again, I think I shared that sense of frustration with Nate and disappointment. But, you know, we are still doing better in comparison than most of the rest of the country. It is not a time to be complacent or pat ourselves on the back. We have work to do. But that sense of frustration with what you see out there, and again, social media can be a bad thing when you look and see some of the stuff that's out there. But people that are not taking this seriously, people that say, oh, it's just like the flu, I share that frustration too, Nate. I am right with you there. That drives me nuts. There are 250,000 people who have died from this disease in this country. It is absolutely devastating. It's somebody said on NPR today who was reporting on this, that is 5 Vietnams of Americans that have died from this. We have got to take this seriously, and we've got to realize that when we put on a mask, it's not a political statement. It's a statement about science, and it's an understanding of protecting yourself and others, your fellow Americans, your fellow Vermonters, the people that you live with that are around the block. You care about them. It is a sign of caring. So, Nate, thank you for the phone call. Thank you for getting in touch with us. I share your frustration, and I do not think that you're alone in feeling the way you do.
This is Vermont Edition. I'm Bob Kinzel, joined today by VPR's Mitch Wortlieb, seeking your advice, your ideas of how to cope with this resurgence of the pandemic. Earlier in the program, we had a call reaching out to young people who may be feeling some depression about the situation that we're in, and certainly adults feeling the same way. We do have some information at our website that could help you, but let me just mention the National Suicide Prevention Hotline. That's 1-800-273-8285. I'm sorry,
8255. Yeah.
Let me try that one again. It's the National Suicide Prevention Hotline, 1-800-273-8255. Also, the Vermont Suicide Prevention Center. Text VT to 741-741. And again, this information will be available at our website. If anyone has any interest in that, it's important information and important to take steps at the critical time. Let's talk to Carrie, who is calling from Montreal. Hi, Carrie. Welcome to the program.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure. What's on your mind?
So I was actually calling. So we are U.S. citizens that live in Montreal. So obviously we have not crossed the border since this started. And we have a lot of family in the United States, a lot of grandparents and aunts and uncles that really want to have time with our kids. So we have a 2-year-old and a 5-year-old. So what we've been doing, which is a great way to have our kids connect to, is, you know, they make a ton of drawings, and there's no way that we can keep all these drawings. So we have different envelopes for different people in our family, and when they do a drawing, I ask them, who do you want to send this to? We put it in the envelope. When the envelope's full, we let it sit for 10 weeks so it'll be safe to open, or 2 weeks so it'll be safe to open, and then we mail them all out. And it's just a way to share their development and hopefully brighten somebody else's day that we love and we miss a lot.
What a great idea, Carrie. That's wonderful. May I ask if you have, what are you going to do for Thanksgiving? Are you going to try to Zoom with some of your relatives across the border?
Well, unfortunately, we're all pretty spread out, so everybody's going to be alone. So I think we'll Zoom, but nobody's really planning to cook this year, especially because we're in Canada and technically, quote unquote, Thanksgiving already happened. So.
That's true. Yeah, it was back in October. Right. Yeah. Wow, that's incredible. I mean, did you have plans to when you originally went over the border? So you say you've been there since this started. I mean, did you have plans to go and come back, or are you just situated there and you can't come back across the border?
No, we are planning to stay here for as long as they'll let us stay here. But you know, the difficulty is my mom lives in Maine, and so it's an easy drive to go. And, you know, it would be nice to even just socially distance, see her, but we risk, because we're on a work permit, we can get into the United States, but whether or not we'd be allowed back in is another question. So it's not quite worth the risk just yet.
Carrie, let me just ask you one more thing, and then I'll let you go. Because you are there in Quebec, and I'm fascinated with it. I love the city of Montreal, and I love going to visit there when I've been able to. I'm wondering what you're seeing there, because we are seeing rising numbers in Quebec as well, and there's talk now about maybe a even stricter shutdown in the province. What's your general sense of how people are dealing with this, how seriously they're taking it?
I don't think we're in the extremes that United States have, but there's definitely people, like when I pick my daughter up at school, granted we're outside, but there's definitely still parents not wearing masks, you know, and it's people are taking, though, I think the bubbling pretty seriously. And, you know I personally have not been to anybody's house since they, you know, increased the lockdown, but I just don't know what's going to happen at Christmas here, because I think that's when it's going to be really hard to regulate it. So we'll see. But I do think that most people take it pretty seriously.
Well, you sound like you're in pretty good spirits, Carrie, and thank you so much for the call. Really appreciate it.
Let's turn to Beth, who is calling from the Northeast Kingdom. Hi, Beth. Welcome to the program.
Hi there. I feel a little silly saying this, but I'm having a lot of the time a good time during the pandemic for two reasons. One is I'm baking with my grandson, and he lives in New York City. So I get twin boxes of mixes, baking mixes, from King Arthur. It used to be King Arthur Flour, now it's King Arthur Baking. And send one to him, and I keep one, and we bake on FaceTime together, and I can see how his dough is shaping up and say, okay, add a spoonful of water, or no, not that cup, use the other one. And we're having a great time. He's getting really good at baking, and we're going to graduate him next week, I think, to baking with regular ingredients instead of just a mix.
Wow.
So it's been fun.
Beth, you know, first of all, don't feel bad about, you know, feeling good about this time. You're finding ways to deal with this in the very best way possible. And it sounds you're connecting with your grandson there in New York City. I think that's wonderful. Good for you.
It's been terrific. And another thing that I have found really delightful is because everyone's putting programs online, I've been able to go to programs that I never would have been able to before. Author readings in Utah, but also learning from programs that groups like the Vermont Historical Society put online. I got to do historical cooking the last two Tuesday nights, and I'm going to a program tonight without ever leaving my house.
Well, Beth, quickly, what did you make that was historical cooking? Give me an example of a dish.
It was called apple tansy. And you used eggs and cream and apples, and you cooked them in a frying pan. And I ended up, because I'm an old-time Northeast Kingdom person at this point, I just put maple syrup on anything that comes out of the frying pan. So
of course you do. Of course you do, Beth. That's fantastic. Thank you very much. Bob, I wanted to follow up quickly with Beth's phone call because, you know, that's such a happy message. And we got this message from Kim in South Londonderry, who had a birthday yesterday. She says, November 18th was my birthday. She says, I thought it was going to be super sad not seeing anyone, but it turned out to be a great day that I truly appreciated more than any other. Thanks, everybody, for all the birthday wishes, family Zoom phone calls, cards, balloons, and love. You truly made a COVID birthday a great day. So blessed and so happy to have so many great friends and family in my life. Thank you so much, Kim from South Londonderry, and happy birthday.
And Mitch, there was a great photo with that, with her holding, you know, maybe a dozen balloons and doing a great jump in the air. So I mean, that in itself was just so amazing to see.
That's so
that
nice.
Was another one of our moments of joy. Let's talk to Nessa in Reigate Corners. Hi, Nessa. Welcome to the program.
Hi. Thanks. So. One of the things that I have found to be really uplifting is to do something new, something I have never done before. And I'm a senior, but I've been on Facebook for quite a while, but I had never done a video chat, which is really easy. There's just a little movie camera icon in the chat box, and you just click on that. Much less complicated than doing a Zoom meeting, which I have no idea how to do. And I connected with an old friend of mine back from junior high school, and being able to see him and talk to him and meet his wife, it was just so much fun. So whatever new thing you can do, it really brings in lovely energy.
Wow, that does sound like some lovely energy. Thank you very much for that call. I appreciate that. Yeah, do something new. Do something you haven't done before, as long as it's safe. I think that's a great idea.
Let's turn to John, who's calling from Montreal. Hi, John. Welcome to the program.
Yeah, good afternoon. The way I've been coping with it, I'm an American citizen up here, and I've been going back in history to look at what happened the last time, 102 years ago in 1918. And one of the things that you notice is it came out of the trenches in the spring of 1918, hit everyone. Then it went to the southern hemisphere, and everyone reacted. You could say they had Spanish flu, you know, the same thing we have, COVID reaction now where people are tired of it. They said, uh-oh, done, I'm not wearing a mask again, that's it. And then in the fall, it came back far more virulent. And it killed 675,000 Americans. So I look at it to not make the same mistake now as then, because as they say, if you don't remember your history, you're doomed to repeat it.
John, you're absolutely right. And I find that fascinating, too. I have been looking at some tweets that came from the Vermont Historical Society recently, where they were showing headlines, I think, from from Rutland newspapers back in the day about how, you know, some folks in Rutland were letting the disease get back and get a foothold back in 1918. But you're right, that example is there for us to learn from. And I really urge people to look back at what happened in 1918, because it was absolutely devastating. It was even worse than it is now, and we don't want to go down that road again, and we can stop it. It is all up to us and our individual actions.
Let's turn and get a quick call in from Rebecca in Shelburne. Hi, Rebecca. What's on your mind today?
Hi. I have always found that the arts are so necessary in tough times to my well-being. And so I have been trying to find low-tech ways to share poetry, music, art that we've done, little silly dances with people in person. Like, I had a friend come over, and we sat in chairs on my deck, 6 feet apart with masks, and read our favorite poems to each other. And how sweet that was. You could even do it in the winter. You know, it's worth the sitting in the cold. And it was so uplifting to another place that we don't go these days. And another thing was meeting a friend in a parking lot who's an artist, and she brought this new drawing concept she's been doing, and she spread a bunch of drawings out on the trunk of my car, and we stood 6 feet. We stood 6 feet apart, and she talked about them, and it was lovely.
That's really cool. I mean, that's the second call we've gotten today about people meeting up in parking lots and doing things in very creative ways. And I absolutely would emphasize what Rebecca is saying. Anything that you can do to enrich your mind, to let yourself enjoy the arts, music, art, you know, reading, writing, all of that is going to enrich your soul at times. And if you can share it safely with a friend in person, just the way Rebecca described it, do it. It'll make you feel great.
Well, this has been a wonderful hour gathering positive ways to help deal with the COVID-19 virus. Many, many thanks to all the listeners who contributed in so many great ideas for us and will help all of us get through the coming weeks and months. Also, special thanks to Mitch Wertlieb, whose very presence on the air every day is a moment of joy that helps all of us cope with the return of this virus. Mitch, thanks very much.
That's very kind, Bob. Thank you so much, and thank everybody who's been listening, and stay safe and be well.